Well, good morning. It's been a while since we've had a sermon summary, so I'm going back to Romans chapter 9, right at the very beginning. There have been stories told of their great-great-grandfather, hundreds of years before them, being spoken to by God. They had been told of miraculous births, of an incredible rise to second in command by a man named Joseph, and all of it had seemed far off, for 400 years to be precise. But then Moses arrived. The plagues began, the sea was parted, the manna came, Moses went up to that mount, met by thunder and clouds, and they began to wonder where he was. Was he dead? Had he abandoned them? Had God abandoned them? So they did the one logical thing. They made an idol and worshipped it as the god of their deliverance. Moses came, and there was great sorrow, of course, for the foolishness which the Israelites had done. And then we're told of an account where Moses and God have a conversation. And Moses says this, "But now, if you will, forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book, which you have written." The Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of the book." I believe Paul probably had this account in his mind as he wrote the beginning of Romans chapter 9. He has the same desire that Moses had, a great desire, a painful desire to see their forgiveness. He says, "I am telling the truth in Christ," in verse 1. "I am not lying. My conscience testifies within me of the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit." He gives a complete, undeniable affirmation that he is not blowing off steam. He's not putting up a front or acting, nor is he against Israel. But he has a desire for them, that he has a great sorrow and unceasing grief in his heart, literally a pain in his mind or spirit. He has a extreme pain within his heart. He has unceasing grief, a mental distress in his heart. This is a matter of emotions. He's been thoroughly put through the ringer when it comes to this topic. He says in verse 3, "For I wish that I myself were accursed," or anathema. "Let him be rejected, cast out, separated from Christ." Of course, there's no greater curse than to be separated from Christ. And this is his desire, that he would be willing to give of himself so that the Israelites would come to salvation. This is for the sake of his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh. So he now recognizes that the Israelites are his family via blood. But true family, of course, is by being part of the family of God. He wants them to come into this relationship. And we understand, of course, from Galatians 3:13 that only Christ can be cursed for us, as he is a sinless one. So who are these folks? Who are these folks whom he desires to see saved? What benefits did they have? Verse 4, it says, "They are Israelites. They're the chosen nation of God. They received the adoption as sons. God brought them into his care. He raised them up. He called Abraham out of a life of idolatry to follow him. In the glory, God revealed his glory to them. They were called to reflect his glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. All of the wonderful promises of blessing and care and grace from God they had." Whose are the fathers? The fathers of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and from whom the Christ is, according to the flesh. In fact, it is through Israel which the greatest thing possible could ever come, our Savior, our Lord, our Shepherd, our King, Jesus Christ. He is over all, it says. Now, I made a side trail here of asking ourselves, do we live as though Christ is over all? Does his worship take precedence over all? Does devotion to him take precedence over all in your life? Does your entertainment point to him being of utmost importance? Does your commitment to his bride, the church, show his utmost importance? He is over all, and he ought to be over all in our lives practically and as we worship him. And he is God, blessed forevermore. Amen. He is God. That's one of the clearest statements made of Christ's deity. He is God, God in the flesh, come in the flesh through Israel. And yet, Israel as a whole, as a nation, rejected the Christ. So Jesus is the Christ. He's over all, and he is God. Therefore, there ought to be an incredible sorrow and grief over those who reject him. They will answer for their sins. We cannot, but Christ can. So go tell the wondrous story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The lost around us are not our enemies. They are our mission field.